You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Homarg, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moss and Joe. Well, the party they go hell. They're out in the St. John's Wall. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, hello, everybody. Marco Bill here, and by golly, it is a wonderful night tonight. I just want to say hi to all of our listeners out there. Thank you for all your emails and your guest book entries. I'd like to... thank you also for ordering some of our DVDs and things from the store. It's a pretty neat thing. Anyway, we have a full show tonight. Tom and the team disintegrated here for about a week, but Tom is still tidying up on the last end of his bout, and next week he should be back here, I think. And we'll be able to talk about some things that he's been doing. And I wish him the very best. He wasn't feeling too hot here in the last day or so because of the, I don't know, maybe the weather or just everybody being tired. I know all the team members are pretty tired. But anyway, it's a great night. I'm here in San Diego, as you all know. And by golly, I'll tell you, it's about 80 degrees. It's not too bad, but I know there's a lot of you other folks out there that are suffering like crazy. So I just hope that you can get a little bit cooler, and I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad I moved to San Diego. I'm going to tell you that. Well, tonight we're going to go out here to Virginia to our first guest, and it's Samantha. But before I go to Samantha, I'd like to tell everybody one thing. I got a call yesterday from a lady in Pennsylvania, and she didn't want to come on the show because she was afraid, and it's okay. But it was a really neat incident that took place. Her and her husband and the kids were out in a back about 15 miles from their home in a pasture with weeds and, you know, just some brush and weeds and an open field that went alongside the woods, and it's in the Appalachia region. And the kids came back and told their mom and dad that they saw a bear. And so the mom and dad got kind of scared and thought, well, man, we better go, you know, get the other kids out of the field there if there's a bear there, because they didn't want them to get hurt. And as they went back to get the kids out of the field, hiding behind a tree was something big, gray-looking, and about 8 to 10 feet tall. And it was looking out from behind the tree, and it was making chattering and noises and stuff. And they didn't know what to think, what it was, but they knew it wasn't a bear because it was just too big. The kind of bears that are in their area there are the little black bears. They don't get that big. And anyway, they were kind of excited. And then the creature took off running through the woods, and they seen it just for a few seconds. And so she called me, and, of course, she was wondering, you know, there's a place that they normally go with the children. It's next to one of their relatives, I guess, and they're worried about the kids being safe, and they figured it would come back again here. But anyway, that was one incident that took place, and it's kind of an interesting thing. Last week we had two people that had a very similar sighting of a creature. Tonight, our first guest, we have Samantha from Virginia, and she's going to talk about her and her husband and what they've seen. Samantha, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Good. Can you talk up just a little, get a little closer to the mic on the phone there?
Yeah.
There we go. Well, Samantha, why don't you tell us, kind of give us a little background of what happened and when and all that. Could you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we was at my mom's house. We usually spend all of our time up there. Here recently, we haven't been up there that much because of what's been going on. And it's happened for the past 2 weeks. And it was me and my husband were sitting on the front porch, and we started to hear growling. And at first my mom was like, oh, well, it's the bear that they have walking around up there. And we started to sit out there. My mom started to holler for Bigfoot. And we got him to call back to us.
That's pretty good. And when he called back at you, what kind of noise did it make?
At first it was like I guess they call it samurai chatter.
Yeah, chatter. Samurai chatter is like that, yeah.
And then the next night we was up there, because at first when we just got him doing that, it was kind of like it was back and forth from one ridge to another.
Uh-huh.
And then me and my husband started to go up there more often. he was like, well, this is actually really cool, because he's only talked about Bigfoot, and he really wanted to see if he was real.
Uh-huh.
And so we went back up there the next night. We heard screaming, and then we heard what sounded like a high-pitched baby cry.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom started to whoop and all that stuff, and then we heard something smacking on trees. And my husband walked around the house, and there was a tree that looked like it had just been pushed over.
Yeah, how big was the tree? Do you remember?
It was like probably a medium tree, like not really big, but not really small.
Right.
It wasn't a skinny branch.
Oh no! I understand. It was well about five or 6 inches around, or something like that.
Yeah, it's probably about six feet tall. The tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he came running around the house like, y'all got to come see this. This isn't ordinary. And then we got another growl coming from behind the house. So mom told me to come on the porch. And then she started hollering again. And then about that time, my husband looked around the corner of the house, and he saw something that was about his height, and he's 6 foot something. And it was standing there. He shined the light, and it was, like, ducked behind the tree. Like it didn't want to be seen or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, what the heck is that? And then as the week progressed, we'd sit there, we'd get, like, knocks here and there, and then we were sitting there, I think, last Saturday, and we got whistling.
Okay.
Like, it would try to mimic my husband's whistles.
Uh-huh. They do that. They mimic other animals as well.
And then from that, he tried to get it to do it again. And it went from, at first I didn't know what it was because it sounded like a human whistling. Like, it went from a high whistle to a medium whistle to a low whistle. So I was like, did you just whistle? He said, no. And we sat there, and it got really quiet, and the frog stopped. And then we started to listen, and we would hear, like, the current from the rain,
mm-hmm.
how it was pushing on the rocks and stuff, I would hear sloshing up the creek, like, up current. I was like, okay, I know nothing's going to be able to walk upstream after a rain unless it's something really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And we shined the light down there. We couldn't see anything. Except for two eyes.
Can you tell us the color of the eyes?
Kind of like a reddish color.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too high up off the ground to be a deer.
No, I understand, yeah.
So then we started to look across the field, and he saw something black laying down in the field. And my mom was like, oh, well, that's probably the bear. We looked back, and it looked like it stood up and walked off. Like, all we caught was the glimpse of it walking off. And I know that with his stride, it would take him probably about 30 minutes to walk from the middle of the field to get in the water, to go up the ridge again. Because
mm-hmm.
he has such a long stride. I mean, that's a pretty big field.
Yeah. No, I understand. It goes pretty fast, doesn't it? The creature went pretty fast.
And then That was the night that we had my dog on the front porch. She started to whine, so we had to, she got really defensive when, like, we took the light off of her and she was in the truck. She started to growl. She had jumped off the back of the truck to try to run into the woods after something. And, I mean, she did not like what she was going after. And so we put her on the bottom rail of the porch. Well, she started to whine again. And then we got more screaming from the ridge. Like, it got closer and closer and closer. And we tried not to pay attention to it because I was trying to get her to be quiet. And my husband had went inside. And when he was in the bathroom washing his hands, something came to the window. He had just turned the light off. They have a motion sensor light at the back porch facing towards where the windows are. He looked, and he saw a shadow. He came running out the bathroom door because something had hit the back of the house where the window was.
Wow.
And then the same thing happened to my stepdad, Junior, when he went in there the same night. It was two bangs and then nothing else. And then we had to bring the dog on the front porch, like all on the steps of the front porch, so she would calm down and nothing, like a bear or nothing, would come out the woods and try to eat her. And after we did that, we went inside and let everything cool down for a little bit outside. And my husband was checking on the dog, and he came, like, not even 5 inches out the door, and he said, the dog's on the porch in the corner. And when he had opened the door, he had heard something stomp off the front porch steps. And my dog was hooked on a heavy-duty chain on the porch. She wasn't on her chain when we went outside.
The chain was off of the dog, huh?
Yes. And she was not even paying attention to the cats or nothing. She was just dead staring off of those steps like, look, something just tried to take me.
It would have been his lunch. Yeah. Well, gosh, that is amazing.
And I know since then, my mom has had him calling back to her. And actually, tonight we're actually going, me and my husband are going up there to see if we can get anything else.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's kind of neat, Samantha. So what do you think about this experience? Was it kind of scary at first, or?
At first it was, because we didn't know, like, I didn't know what I was dealing with, but my mom and them did. At first for me it was really scary, because I was like, well, this is a 700-some-pound thing that can walk on two legs and can snap tree trunks in half. What could he do to my little me? Like, he could snap me in half if he wanted to.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. They're very strong.
I don't need that right now.
But they're also, we haven't had very many, we've had very, very few things happen where people were injured by these creatures. Normally what happens is they're just very curious. They do fake charges, things like that. But in the juveniles are more aggressive than the older ones seem to be. But there have been a couple instances, like, you know, if they have to protect themselves or they're young, that they probably would. I mean, just like we would, I'm sure. And so we just need to be careful that we're not antagonizing it to where it feels like it's being threatened or anything. But for the most part, I think they hang around the area there trying to find out who we are.
Yes.
And, of course, probably looking for food.
Yeah. My mom did tell me that their trash can went missing. She said
that's a common occurrence, too. Yeah, that would be a common occurrence as well. Well, gosh, Samantha. Now, you know, Samantha, at the end of our show, after we have usually four or five guests, and at the end of our show, we have about a 10-minute period where people can ask questions of each other. And can you hang around till the end of the show?
Mm-hmm.
And we would see if some of the people would like to ask you questions, or you may want to ask questions of other people. We have some of our people here that are researchers, and they do a continuous research. Of course, I will maintain contact with you and your husband if you don't mind. And if anything else comes on, you have my cell phone, and of course you can call me anytime, and we'll have you back on to tell us about your experience. Would you like to hang around till the end of the show to ask questions and things?
Yeah.
Okay. All I'm going to do right now, I want to thank you. First of all, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your experience with us. It takes a lot of courage to do that. A lot of people are scared to do that because they rightfully so. I mean, they don't want to have people, you know, calling them. And when you tell people that you saw Bigfoot, a lot of times what happens is they think you're nuts.
They
don't believe you. So, but anyway, I'm going to mute you out, and we'll see you at the end of the show.
Okay.
Okay? And thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Samantha from Virginia. And her and her husband are having all kinds of fun out there. We're going to go to a commercial. If I can get my commercial thing going. Push the wrong button.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Well, and we're back. Well, we went from Samantha to Virginia, and we're going to go to Anthony in Virginia. Anthony, how are you tonight?
Doing well, Marco Bill.
Well, by golly, what do you think about that? Did you listen to Samantha?
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Isn't it?
It seems like activity is increasing in Virginia.
Yeah, I know. Well, Anthony, tell us, some things have been going on, and you've been following up here the last couple of weeks, and some more things have been going on. Why don't you give us a rundown on what's happening? Why don't you kind of circumvent, for the people who have never heard this before, why don't you just kind of give us the short overview of what happened and then where we're at now?
All right. Well, we had a friend whose daughter and I played on the softball team together, and I took him up on invitation to come to his property, and he took a section of his property and made a little baseball field for his children, and so my daughter and his daughter practiced there And then they both had a fun time in the pool together. And as he and I were just talking away, you know, he just happened to mention some of the strange things that were taking place in his property. Mentioned that on his ball field one time, he said that he had seen footprints, and he said he doesn't know how they got there. And he really didn't think that a person had made them because, you know, the footprints were so, you know, the stride was so far apart that he literally had to jump from one foot to the next, you know. And as he was explaining these things, you know, out of his own mouth, he said that, you know, he thought it was Bigfoot. I kind of talked to him, you know, kind of like, well, what makes you think of that? You know, not leading on right away that, you know, I happen to have the same belief and, you know, had similar experiences. And he kind of, you know, told me about some of the things that he'd noticed, the sounds that they made. And so after a while, I let him know what I was into, and, you know, shared my experiences and told him that, you know, if he would show me, you know, kind of the area where they were, I would tell him what to look for, you know, and as far as tree formations and arched branches and all that stuff. And he said, sure. And we went out into the wooded area over there, and we seen a footprint, you know. And it was, let me see, I compared it to my boot, my work boot, which was about 12 inches. And I'd say that print was about 18 inches long, you know. So it was clear cut, you know. Since then, he had told me that when he had first moved into the area, he said that every day for over a month, he would see a monkey. He really thought it was a monkey in a tree, you know, going from tree to tree. You know, he didn't think anything of it. He said, oh, you know, there's a loose monkey out there. You know, he said he would see it every day. But it would always go, he said the only interesting thing about that monkey that he would see is that it would always go from the south to the north part of the area, you know. And I asked why was he going that way, and he said, well, across that road there's where the forest is. So then he laid out some bait. He had laid out some bait, which, you know, he got the he laid out more than once. He had laid out a Snickers bar that had taken it, and the last time he had laid out a Snickers bar, he mounted it on a stick, and they took the Snickers bar and the stick, you know. So and each time they're able to see footprints. You know, you can clearly make out, I mean, you can clearly make the heel and the toe in the front, but there's not enough definition in there to make a cast, you know, because it's not in dirt, you know, it's all filled with debris and stuff, you know. But I did take pictures of it, and sorry I didn't have time to email it to you there, Marco Bill.
Oh, that's okay.
So this past weekend, you know, set up some game cameras and baited the area again, and as usual, and I know I'm telling a lot of folks a story here, but, you know, and I know I'm, you know, it's just an echo, you know, they know how to avoid the game cameras, you know. And but we set them up anyway. We set up the bait, you know. We thought we had set it up far away, and I had set up the game cameras kind of low, you know, so hoping that it would be overlooked. But you know, as usual, the bait's gone, footprints are there, and, you know, I have no pictures of it. Yeah. So something tripped the game cameras, but, you know, as you know, they're pretty quick about these things. And so, but I am a firm believer that perseverance will pay off. And, you know, one day, you know, and we'll get some evidence. But, you know, even then, at that point, I know a lot of folks will, you know, probably won't believe it right away. But, you know, but the experiences are real, you know. You know, again, I've been part of the Bigfoot family almost 3 years now, so it's still
going. No. Well, can I ask you a question, Anthony?
Sure.
What kind of game cams are you using?
I'm using the Moultrie.
What's the delay time?
Well, the older one, you know, it's kind of slow on the trigger, but I got the improved version of the M80, which is a rapid fire. It'll take 3 shots in a second, you know. So, the other one,
because one of the things that happens,
slower.
we're pretty sure, just based on all of our experience of trying to get these things to, you know, get a picture. We do get pictures, but I mean, they seem to be able to detect infrared.
Yeah.
And the sensors, and they stay clear of it. I don't know if you remember one of our guests. He used to come on here all the time. He went in. He found one of his cameras in the tree, and the creature actually crawled up in the tree, busted out the front of the camera, and peed in it. And he had to analyze, and it was urine. And there's nothing a raccoon or a bear can't do that to a camera.
That's
it
right.
Had to be something that had fingers and hands or something that to hold something to crack the front of the face of it.
Okay, did you get any pictures of the face, or?
Didn't know. That's the problem. The thing was trying to destroy the camera, and it did. It did a good job.
Okay. Was the memory card able to be salvaged, or? I'm just curious.
Well, there's a, yeah, well, I think before what it did is it kind of tore it up. He didn't get a picture.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he got a picture of a, you know, black, you know,
usually
something
case.
Covering the camera lens or whatever, but no picture of anything that would be useful.
Hmm.
One of the other things is there's a couple of cameras out there, and actually they're not very expensive. They're about $150, and they've got very good reaction time, and a lot of people have had a lot of luck, good luck with them, with animals and other things to try to get pictures. And maybe what I'll try to do is sometime this week or next week email you that information.
Yeah.
And you can take a look at the specs to see if it beats the one that you have. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that the one that I bought, actually I bought that one after I met Tom, and then like a year or two later they improved that. And actually I've been on the website, they even made an improvement on top of that, you know. And it still looks the same, but at least, you know, the first improved one that I have, you know, that seems to I kind of put that one up there up close because of the fast, you know.
Right, because of the fast reaction time.
Right. So because I know it'll take 3 frames in 1 second, you know, and that burst will take 3 shots. But
that's good.
I know there's other better cameras out there, but you know I paid probably about the same price you mentioned. I think it was about $140. So, you know, I know there's cheaper cameras. I know there's more expensive ones. You know, you got to go with what's within your budget, and you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we don't want to go way overboard. You're putting these things out in the woods.
Yeah.
Anybody can pick them up.
I mean, you will see it. You'll experience it. But for some reason, when you try to capture it, I mean, that's even harder than trying to see these things.
Oh yeah, I understand totally. We have the same problem.
Gosh,
Anthony, I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me.
And you're going to stay to the end of the show, right?
I'm sorry, Marco Bill. I got to go after this. So, but I would love open that invitation to my neighbor, wherever they're at in Virginia. You know. If they ever want to, you know, if they're interested, you know, they can, you can gladly give them my information, you know. And,
I will talk to Samantha and let her know that.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you very much, Anthony, for coming on tonight and sharing.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Yep. I'll talk to you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was Anthony from Virginia. And next, we're going to go out here. We're going to go to Rocky in Swede. Hello,
hi.
Rocky.
How are you?
Good. Hi, Swede.
Good evening, Marco. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, okay. Swede, how's your arm?
Why don't you tell us what's going on?
Well, Slade, how's your arm?
Oh, fine. I'm recovering fine. I just ain't got over smashing my cheater glasses, but my arm's doing fine. It's getting better.
Okay. Well,
I had a little tumble, Marco.
Yeah, it was only about 30 foot off the side of the hill. But, I mean,
ouch.
It might have been a little bit more than a little tumble, but after I saw he wasn't dead, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, he thought it was pretty funny until I had that big goose egg on my forearm. It looked like I had a baseball stuck
ouch
under my skin.
Wow.
I told him I could make his arm feel better, but I'd have to pull another tooth. We've been out stomping around out in the weeds. I ended up with a blister on the bottom of my foot. Looked like the size of a Lincoln hubcap. You could have drowned a dog in the puddle I made when I opened it up and drained it. Lost
wow
7 pounds. But we got out there. We checked some of our bait, and two places our bait was gone. But the string, the line that we had it tied with was broken. But it was broke about 5 foot off the ground. Anyhow, the apple with the peanut butter in it, in both cases, were gone. We sighted the hobbit out there. There's a little ugly bear out there. It's got a little bitty body and a big old head on it, and it's got a horrible attitude. We saw some hogs out there. But we didn't have any luck. Other than, like I say, we got out of there without the hobbit killing us and eating us. But we put out more bait. We checked out the pond again. And when are we going out, Swede? Friday?
Yeah, we'll be going out Friday. Marco, it's been really, really hot and dry here, and the weather, NOAA weather radio come on this afternoon. I'm at the farm and been taking care of stuff here. But anyway, the NOAA weather radio come on, and there was a big thunderstorm rolled across our little haunt down there. So there's going to be some moisture in the ground, which is going to be much beneficial for seeing what's going on. You know, it's hard to see anything
sure
when it's so dry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's hard.
But, yeah, we're looking forward to it. I kind of got fired up when that rain rolled through. I was thinking, man, if I could duck out of work, I'd head out now, but I can't do it.
I understand. Gosh.
We're going out to we're going to check out the pawpaw patch, and we're going to try and set up there, and hopefully something of interest will come along besides a big old stinky hog. But if
we get a couple of little small ones, we'll have a barbecue later on. But we're gonna try to actually take and document some grid. We're gonna do a grid on that pawpaw patch and try to get like a fruit count of just a basic fruit count,
mm-hmm,
and see where we're at on that. And we're gonna see how much a sustainable food supply that would be there in estimated tonnage. And
sure,
we'll be able to maybe express that later on in a future show where you can show that you know, what we've seen, it's going to be more than just the bears and the coons could have worlds of food to hold them, you know, through the early fall and into a little bit before frost. So we're going to try to
sure
get some of that documented. So I don't know if all the viewers know what a pawpaw is, but it's a major source of nutrition, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
Are you planning on doing that count before I get down there? Because when I get down there in the pawpaw patch, you know I'm going to eat about a quarter of them.
Well, you know, we'll deduct a little bit for, you know, self-indulgence.
Gosh.
Well, we
we're looking forward to the rain. I am. Rocky was like, boy, when that rain come, I heard it on that. No, I called him up earlier today, and I said, man, it's raining at the place. Man, we need to get around. And, of course, it's been so dry and so hot, and we've got so much going on. But it will be nice. We've seen sign, Marco. I mean, the blackberry patches have been beat up, but, you know, it could be bears, could be hogs, could be a little bit of everything. There's been, you know, lots of food sources that we know about down there, but like I said, I'm waiting for August, and when August comes, that's when it all happens, and we're going to try to document some via digital this time. I got a new digital device, and I'll be sending you some digitals where you can put those on the website and let some people, you know, see what's going on. Well, we've been talking about it. We'll show you some of it.
Oh, man, that'd be super. That'd be great.
So we're really excited about it. We're just like chomping at the bit. It's like deer season for us to go on our regular August haunt. So we've been spending quite a bit of time down there, but it's been very dry. It's been difficult to see any sign of tracks. You know, I mean, you can see impressions, but you can't see any kind of dermal stuff. You can't see, you know, it's just been hot and humid. And if it's hot and humid on us, you know, it's hot and humid on them. So.
Oh yeah.
It's a tough situation right now, and I bet you right now that old steam's rising out of there, and the creeks are flowing. They said it rained. They were warning flash floods, and we know all about that. Getting caught behind some of them creeks when it rains, it's so vertical, they just go crazy with the water flow. So there's going to be a good washout and a good water change, and you know, everything will be cooled off down there in them valleys and down in them hollers, and it's going to be on. Can't wait. Can't wait for the weekend.
Well, that's pretty good. Well, gosh, I want to thank both of you for coming on tonight and sharing with us. And, of course, as always, I keep in touch with you every week. And we'll see what happens next week on your weekend.
I was going to give you a little shout-out for Anthony when you get to talk to him, if you get to express it to him, because I don't know if I'll get to. He's talking about his camera. Me and Rocky have found the taking with our game cameras, if we just take a little bit of burlap,
yeah,
and put the burlap around that camera, and just put a little opening for our shutter and a little opening for our motion detector, and it kind of breaks that outline of that camera. They're so generic, and it's just that shiny plastic and all that. And we just, even if it is dulled out, you can see it. I mean, you can pick. I can be walking through the woods and see a game camera like nothing. So everybody else
sure.
can too, but. That burlap works real good if you get on the right color tree and use a little bit of that burlap and kind of just blend it around there, and we just wrap it around and tie it behind it. And it kind of, that might help Anthony out on some of his detection on his cameras. I thought I'd just pass that along.
Oh, no, thank you very much. That's good. I'll pass that to him. He went off the air here. He had to get ready for work. He's been working some real long days.
Has Matt called in?
Yeah, he's on tonight. Yeah, he'll be there. In fact, you guys are going to stick around here for a little bit, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, Mac is the next guest. And when we get done with Mac, we're going to have the open period there with Samantha and all you folks, and you can ask questions, and you can talk to Mac as well.
Okay.
Well, Marco, it's good talking with you, and I appreciate you letting us on the show, and hopefully we'll have some more excitement. Hopefully the Hobbit won't be in our pathway in the next go-around when we talk to you next week.
Well, I look forward to it, Swede. Thank you so much, you guys, for coming on. I'm going to mute you out right now till the end of the till we go to our little open discussion.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Rocky and Swede, and of course they're going to be back again next week to let us know what happened. We're going to go to a commercial. And we'll be right back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. featuring original never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Well, and we're back. And if you haven't seen the movie Anatomy of the Bigfoot Hoax, you got to see it. Say, we're going to go out here to Mac, Tennessee. Mac, how are you tonight?
Good. I'm sure glad Slade and Rocky up there, because I've got this knee problem, and I don't have good insurance, and I figured Rocky might get a little help for me. You think you might get take care of me?
Well, Mac, what I wanted to do is, before we started here, I want everybody to know that Mac's mom and dad are having a really rough time right now. And he's really, well, they need a lot of help, and I'd like to go out there to everybody and ask you to lift up your prayers and well wishes to Mac and his family, and that they might get better.
I sure appreciate that. My mama had a stroke last week, about 10 days ago, and my stepfather had crushed his hip. Now, my stepfather passed away a few years ago, just before Tom, Jim Dawson, and Bill Copley came down here the second time that my father had passed away. And I was under a lot of stress at that time. And this past 2 weeks, I kind of spread myself pretty thin, you know. But I'm still looking, still watching. There's a new deal in Mississippi. I haven't talked to a lot of people about it. You can strap a gun on your hip now in Mississippi. You can't conceal it. But, of course, I wear one all the time anyway. But my wife, one night, she said, "Why do you wear a 45 pistol all the time?" I said, "Because they don't make a 46. But I wear my pistol just to stay comfortable. I don't keep one in the barrel. It is for safety. But that's a new deal in Mississippi. You can strap a gun on the rack. You, of course, can't do it in the courthouse or government places, you know. But you know, this state, and I'm starting so different places. Not like New York City and places where you, if there's a lot of places you can carry a gun, you won't get into trouble unless it's a different situation.
Yeah.
There's some things going on that have gone on in the past few weeks and months that I didn't know about. I did some checking up on. There was a lady watched a creature run into a abandoned house trailer, an old abandoned house trailer, but it wasn't about 4 feet, but it didn't have a neck, but it was hairy and everything. And they'd been hearing a bunch of screams and hollers, and come find out her husband, he'd been hearing them too. They all heard it at night for about, you know, a few days. And his dog was barking out in the woods, and he kept walking out toward the dog. And when he got to the dog, he saw a creature just for a little bit. But he said it was about 6 feet, 6 feet tall. Now, that's in Neshoba County, and you can't have it, because I'm telling you, if you look on the people that look on it, that place, Neshoba County, Mississippi, it's in there. You'll see it there. And I don't know the people's names. I'm trying to get up with them, but they just don't want to be, you know, say very much about who they are. And there's been a few more situations like that. But I'm keeping my ears open, and it's kind of hard to, because I've gone to Meridian, Mississippi, which is a round trip, it's 120 miles. I've been every day over there when I got off work, you know, checking on my mama. And I called her name. I said, "Now, look, mama, if you don't mind, I'm going to be on the radio show tonight. And she said, I don't need you over here tonight. So I got a chance to be here and talk on the radio.
I really appreciate
it. I appreciate y'all's prayers and concerns about her. It makes you feel good when people are concerned, you know. And every prayer counts for what I'm concerned.
Oh, absolutely does. Well, you know, Mac, you know what we have to do? Let's open this up to everybody.
Okay.
And I'm going to put, let's see, Swede, Rocky, Samantha, Steve, are you on? Gentle Giant, are you on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on now, Marco. Hello there, Swede.
Hey, how are you?
We were going to come up there where you guys were earlier, and we had canceled the trip because we had a family emergency.
Well, I hope it wasn't anything too serious, and I hope it worked out for you.
Yep. Anyhow, back to the show.
Well, what I'd like to do is, does anybody, Samantha, do you have a question of anybody?
Not really.
Okay. Does anybody have a question for Samantha? She's had quite a bit of action going on around her parents' house.
Yeah,
there.
Samantha, this is a giant. When you started seeing this creature, did it act like it was afraid of you guys, or did it act more like it wanted to communicate?
I didn't catch that. What?
Well, did the creature act like it wanted to communicate with you guys, and how long did it take before it started talking?
It actually acted like it wanted to come out in the open and, hey, look, it's me.
Sounded like an experience I had when I was a kid. Anybody else out there want to ask? Feel freely. I don't want to be the only one left here holding the bag.
I'd like to say that I hear different people saying they've seen sightings, but I really appreciate Samantha's voice, because even when she said that she could hear it smacking on trees, that was such an innocent thing that she said. So many people know about the knocking of trees, and her mom and her husband, they all saw it. There's so many stories, but you can just about tell when somebody's really sincere, and I really think they're sincere about their story.
Well, I think so, too. I think, Samantha and her husband, you guys are going to keep going, right, Samantha? You're going up there this weekend or something, or tomorrow or tonight or something?
Tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be great. And you don't mind if I keep in contact with you, do you?
No, that'd be really cool.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to butt in there, Mark. I was going to say, take some camera or something in there, or some sort of recording sound or something with you. That'd be the great thing to do.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Bring your, if you got your cell phone or whatever, put it on record when you start hearing those vocalizations. And you might pick some of that up. Sometimes we have a little trouble picking up with a cell phone. It does a little grainy and usually sounds way far off, but you know, if it's that close, you guys might be able to get some good recordings.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marco, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'll give it back to you.
Oh, no, it's okay. Samantha, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you guys take an investigator around the area where you seen the creature? Now, you seen a footprint, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you look around the trees, in the upper portion of the trees, about 6 to 8 feet up, to see if there's any tree twists or anything like that?
Well, usually, where they had found one of the footprints. It was like it was leading to the road.
Yeah.
And when you look, like when he looked up, it was like this humongous hole. Like he was like, well, these people are up here. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Somebody else is on here. I'm sorry, Samantha. Somebody else had some noise coming in through the background there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What was I saying? I forgot what I was saying.
No, what you're talking about is that the footprints were that you saw had was going down to the road.
Yeah. When my stepdad looked up from where the footprint was, because it was facing the road, like the footprint, it was like going in towards the field across from us.
Mm-hmm.
And when he looked up, the tree looked like it had been cleared, like completely, like there was no tree branches at all. There was just a huge hole.
Oh, I see, yeah. So it had been cleared out.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, when you go back down there, if you take a look around, they have several kinds of things that you could look for. We have what we call tree formations, and those are where they'll take trees and bend them or branches and set them out in different formation patterns. Okay? They'll bend the trees. You've already had that experience where they push the tree over, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tree twists. And then what we call layers. And layers are nothing more than, well, they'll go into an area where the trees are, and they'll make a bedding area. They also make bedding areas that you said that you've seen them laying down in the field. They also make bedding areas in the field. And when you go down to the field, maybe where you saw the creature laying down, and it got up and took off, you might find something down there as well. Now, it's not going to be the same as a deer or, another animal. You'll be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
But those are just some of the things to look for. Another thing is baiting, putting out bait. And one of the things that we...
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
No, go ahead. Go right ahead, Samantha.
I think that's why my mom's trash can got carried off.
Oh, sure.
They decided to put... Because we thought it was the bear that was getting into the trash and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to put fish on the top of the trash can and, like, beat it through the trash can. And I think that's why the trash got carried off.
Sure. Now, there's another thing that you can do. On baiting, what we're talking about is somehow they like peanut butter. And they like sardines, or a couple of the things that we use for baiting. And basically what we did is we take a can of sardines, open it, and then stick it up about 6-8 feet up in the corner or tack it to a tree or whatever. You know what I'm saying? The peanut butter, they've just spread it on the tree itself. Spread the tree with peanut butter. And when you come back, sometimes you'll find that all the peanut butter's gone. But they seem to like that. That's happened several times with us and with other people as well.
Marco?
Sure, Rocky.
Me and the Swede have been using peanut butter and apples.
Sure.
Cut a little wedge out and smear peanut butter in it. And just take a kind of stiff piece of wire and bend it. And then poke it through the middle of the apple and then bend it on the end where it'll hold up and then tie it. We've been tying it about, 8-10 feet above the ground.
Sure.
And
out away from the tree where nothing can climb and grab it. You know, like a coon
right.
or a bear.
Yeah, you put it so something tall has to reach for it.
Yeah, there's no
doubt.
It can't
get it like a raccoon or something. Right?
Raccoon can't hang down. You know, he's not gonna climb down the string, down the paracord and fall 10 feet. And he's not going to be able to pick it up. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it we've just kind of come to that determination because there's too many other critters that work us over sometimes. And this worked out pretty good. And when it does get taken, it's definitely obvious. I mean, it's just a big snatch it down and gone.
Yeah, Samantha, another thing, you know, the Swede and Rocky both, somehow, you know, those little cutie oranges?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, here we go.
They took his cuties. He had them strapped in a cooler, and they took the whole cooler and ripped it down out of the tree. It was tied. I mean, we were real secured really hard with a paracord, and it just ripped the whole thing off and took off with all his cuties.
Goodness.
I'm still so mad about that. I'm ready to take them on hand-to-hand if that's what it takes. I want the cutie.
You know, it was kind of a blessing in disguise after it's happened, though, Marco, because, you know, the nectarines and the cuties were for us, but it turned out that, you know, it seems to me like, you know, since that time we have kind of exploited that, and it has worked out really well. But we never, we bought them for ourselves at the time. It wasn't a bait issue.
But no, I understand totally.
It's really good for bait, you know. I mean, evidently out there in our neck of the woods, it's a highly sought after scent or flavor or whatever it is. So we're going with it. We're running with it.
Yeah,
it's kind of worked out.
Another good way to bait. We've brought up bears and hogs by the hundred. Is to freeze a gallon jug of apple juice and punch a hole in the bottom of the jug and then pull it way up in the tree. And as it thaws, it just drips. And it brings in, it's brought in everything imaginable.
That's pretty neat.
If there's a creature around, he smells that apple juice in there, he's going to come and jerk the bottle down.
Yeah.
You'll jerk the jug down off of it. But, you know, you got to watch out. There's a lot of other stuff that comes to it, too. But if it jerks it out of the tree, you know, when it's 8 feet high out, suspended way out there, you know, with a throw over, we usually just tie our bait on and we'll take a piece of paracord and I'll tie a rock on the other end of that paracord and throw it over a limb way out there and then take that and tie it. You know, it'll just be hanging out there suspended out in the open where nothing can get to it. Unless it's 6-8 feet tall, you know, you can reach up there. But that works good. That dripping thing, Rocky come up with that on that dripping jug, and that has been a really good deal, the apple juice.
Wish
they had some nectarine juice.
That's pretty good. Well, see, Samantha, there's all kinds of suggestions there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck, Samantha. I hope that you get you some pictures or some vocalization. You know, the big hoop thing, the big hoop is a real good call at night. We found that the hoop will carry through the darkness, you know, big hoop.
Yeah.
And it goes through the night air really good, and usually we get a response back within, you know, 30 minutes or so. Sometimes you got to wait, you know, it's not immediate. But if you're having them right up there close at your mom's place like that, there's no reason why you couldn't get you some excellent video and or maybe some vocalizations. I guarantee you, Marco would be having that on the website, and when it'd be on there, isn't it?
Sure.
Everybody would like to hear that. You know, that'd give somebody else, if you could get some of that vocalization, that's a great thing. You don't have to have a face-to-face when you got vocalization. You might get something to come to you a little bit closer where you might could.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, and be safe with that.
Be careful. It's you know, it's just like anything else. There's good ones, and then there's ones like our little hobbit bear that just wants to kill everything that comes inside. So
yeah.
Well, I want to thank everybody tonight for coming on the show and sharing their experiences with us. Samantha, thank you so much. I'll keep in touch with you.
Okay.
And I hope you have some more good luck there. I really like what you do. I hope a lot of people, Samantha, you heard Anthony tonight, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Anthony wants me to give you his contact information because he'd like to talk to you folks, if you don't mind. And I'll, what I could do is I can give you a call either after the show or tomorrow and give you his contact information.
That's fine.
Okay. And then that way, if you'd want, you can talk to him. And he started out just like you. He had a couple of tree formations that he saw, and he ended up with two visual sightings. He ended up with a foot cast. He ended up with a multitude of tree formations where he's at. And now he's with his friend. Now as you heard, they're week to week, they're having the same kind of encounter experiences as you are, you and your husband are. So it's kind of neat. And he's in Virginia as well.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate your time. And everybody, Rocky, Swede, Steve, I think Mac dropped off because my battery went dead on the phone. So he dropped off. But we'll thank everybody. And everybody have a wonderful weekend. And keep Bigfooting, and we'll see everybody next week.
All right. Sounds good, Marco. John, I guess.
Thank you, Marco.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're all together, reason for the facts.